Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. It's time to visit another one of our small towns in Harrelson County, Georgia, and visit again with our friends and season sponsors at the Greater Harrelson County Chamber of Commerce. Today, we visit a small town in Harrelson County that was once a hub of textile manufacturing for the entire world, and we talk to a mayor who was burdened with her community's struggle for identity when economic changes on a global scale greatly impacted her small town. But you should see it now. We're going to go talk with Mayor Sharon Sewell in the small town of Bremen, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs. And the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's HARALSON.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. We are now in City Hall, on the second level of City Hall. We got a two-story City Hall in this small town in the city of Bremen, Georgia. We will probably hear a train at some point. We just heard one right before I hit record because it's right outside the front doors of City Hall. City of Bremen, I'm sitting upstairs in a conference room with the mayor of the city of Bremen, Mayor Sharon Sewell. Mayor Sewell, thank you so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Welcome to Bremen, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you so much. It was nice. I did get a chance even yesterday since I'm spending a little bit of time on the four small towns of Harrelson County.
Yeah.
And so got to see a little bit of Bremen yesterday. Excited to explore it again today. And very excited to get to know the leader, the elected illustrious leader of Bremen. So just looking forward to hearing more about things. Well, let's start with you, and I'll ask you the same question I always ask at the beginning of an episode. Were you born in Bremen, Georgia?
Absolutely, I was. Not far from this building up the hill, that was when we had a very small hometown hospital.
Okay.
I'll just go ahead and tell it. I was born in 1947. And I've always lived in Bremen. I'm a graduate of Bremen High School. I did go away to college. I went to what at that time was known as Tift College, a college for women in Forsyth, Georgia, that has since merged with Mercer University.
And I think their campus is actually
state offices.
Yeah, for Georgia, yeah.
And then I went to graduate school at Emory to be a speech and language pathologist and learning disability specialist.
Okay. That's the field. What was the degree in when you went to Tift College?
I got a bachelor's degree in speech with a minor in English and music.
Okay. Very interesting.
I don't know that they have minors anymore, you know.
At Georgia Tech, they have certificate programs, but which is similar enough. I actually have a certificate in music from Georgia Tech,
wonderful.
Which people don't think, well, they don't have a music school. They do. You don't major in music there, but yeah, absolutely. Curious, because I've actually heard a couple things in getting to know Harrison County and the towns here. You said you were a graduate of the Bremen High School. Now, there's a city school system you have here.
There is.
Which is separate from the county school system. And we've had a couple communities we talked to them, but it is a little rare in smaller communities to have both city and county. Was it like that when you went as well, or is that something that's changed over the years?
It's been like that for a whole lot longer than I've been alive. I don't know what year that happened or why. Mm-hmm. It's just
always has been. Now, is that, we'll get into your government service a little later, but since we're talking about schools, are you, as the mayor and as the council, are they in any way overseeing the school, or is that a separate school board?
The school board is separate.
Okay.
Now, that really only became separate, I'm going to guess, 10, 12 years ago, when it was obvious that it was necessary for the school to be its own fiduciary authority.
But before that, was mayor and council was over the
school
system?
Before that, mayor and school system, we were not over it, only the finances,
you
know, that we had to approve and be involved in.
Gotcha.
And at this point in time, they set their own tax millage rate. They do their own thing.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so Bremen High School. So tell me, since you were born and raised here, I ask this when someone says, nope, been here all my life. Mm-hmm. What was life like? How have things changed? But what was it like growing up in small town Bremen?
It was wonderful. Bremen was a clothing manufacturing community. Sewell family, of which I'm one. I've never been married, don't have any children, so I'm genetic Sewell. And so I grew up in clothing industry, textile industry. And there were years in the 60s when a significant percentage of men's dress clothing that went all over the world was made in Bremen, Georgia.
Wow.
And when you drive through town, you see railroad tracks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the clothing manufacturers located in Bremen.
Okay.
If you'll notice, each one of the old plant buildings that still exists in Bremen is located on a railroad track.
When there's one, is that the oldest one that's right across from City Hall,
right across there. And then there's one just a little bit north of us right here on that block. And what would happen was they would make the clothes, the train would be parked near the door, they'd load them up and put them on the train.
Right there. So a spur would come right there to the building and then go around the main tracks.
There are railroad tracks everywhere. In fact, the railroad people call us the Bremen Diamond.
Okay.
And if you take an aerial view of the downtown interconnections of the railroad, you will see the perfect shape of a diamond.
Oh.
And so we're on railroad tracks that go north, south, east, and west.
Wow.
We're on federal highways that go north, south, east, and west.
Wow.
We sit on an interstate.
Yep, right there on I-20.
We are 15 minutes from a regional airport and an hour from the Atlanta International Airport. So we're location, location. But most people go the mantra, location, location, location. We are location, location, education, because we have one of the top three school systems in the state of Georgia.
We'll talk about that, because that was a perfect segue. Thank you. I was going to take this back to what you did after college. You talked about what degrees, several, that you got. So what did you do once you finished your lengthy education in those schools?
Well, I worked for a while for the Atlanta Speech School. And then I went and worked for a while at the Central Georgia Speech and Hearing Center, because I had the wild idea that I wanted to go to medical school and I needed some more chemistry. So I went back to Macon so I would be close to Tift College where I could finish the chemistry regimen and apply for medical school. But that didn't pan out. But about that time as well, my dad started his own manufacturing business around 1955. And the other Sewell plants had been up and running were all family, but they were business competitors. The other two that were up and running were actually my dad's uncles. And so my dad started his own and had been in business, you know, for a good long while. And so now we're into early to mid 70s, late 70s. And so due to losing the man that had helped Daddy build the clothing manufacturing plant, he said, come help me till I can find somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you know how that goes.
It wasn't just a few weeks or months.
No, in fact, I stayed then on for a good while. So I was running one of the family factories in the clothing business. But then NAFTA came along and took us all to the cleaners. And we just got to the place where it just wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. So I remember that my dad said to us at one point in time, I have one brother, he said, you know, we could build a factory in Mexico and we could cut, make, and trim a suit for less than the taxes we pay on that suit in this country.
Wow.
And we said, we just really don't want to go to Mexico. So he did finally agree and we closed it. And he was... owned all the buildings, owned all the machinery, and it was just like he had gotten interested in banking. And so we just said, let's just do something different. So then I started working as a speech pathologist for Harrelson County School System.
So you got to go back to what you were...
Went back to Harrelson County School System. I said I would never be in public school. But the superintendent of Harrelson County Schools called me one day. This was years ago. This was late 80s. And said, Sharon, we're about to be evaluated. I don't remember the right word. Evaluated by the state. And we're not going to pass if I don't have somebody with your credentials. Would you come and work for us and get us through this certification?
So did they say just for a time, kind of like your dad did?
Well, he kind of implied that, but I wound up staying there 8 or 10 years
I'm seeing
so.
A pattern here.
Yep, it just is me. So I worked for Harrelson County School System for a while, and then I had a niece. My brother had a little girl who's special needs, who's going to be in the Bremen School System. And I just had a heart to want to be close to her. So I took a job with the Bremen School System mm-hmm. as a speech pathologist and worked there until I reached enough years in public education to retire. And so I became mayor just 2 or 3 years before I retired from the Bremen School System.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I was going to say, as you're telling us, here's your career. Mm-hmm. At some point in there, mm-hmm. you got involved in local government, obviously. So what was it that got you into that, and when did that take place?
I didn't intend to, but, this, you know—
You're not the only person that's ever said that.
The city went through such an incredible trauma losing the clothing industry.
Well, actually, let me ask you more about that, because obviously what you've said so far— illustrate some level of devastation economically, and I'm sure it cost a lot of jobs. So talk about that a little more, even before we talk about how you got involved in government. How many factories were there? Do you know about
right
how many
here
jobs?
In within sight of where you're sitting, there was the Hubbard Plant Factory, the Warren Sewell Clothing Company, which was mostly shipping because they did a lot of their sewing in Bowdoin, Georgia, which is not far from here. Mm-hmm. There was Sewell Manufacturing Company across the street. We also had a Kluett Peabody, which now is Arrow Shirt Plant.
Okay.
So you can see all of those buildings from standing in front of City Hall, pretty much.
And these were like major. I mean, those are pretty good size. The Sewell
they
building I know across the
and,
tracks
and,
is,
you know, you ask yeah, about my growing size. Up. Each one of those factories was like a family.
Right.
They had their own softball teams with uniforms, and they would compete and play against each other.
Right. Who's got the best staff?
Yeah. You know, and so it was a fun, safe place to live. You know, I grew up in the years where you could park out here on Main Street, leave your car running or the keys in it and the doors unlocked, and come back 2 hours later and everything would be fine. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew each other on a first-name basis. And if you got in trouble and somebody else's mama knew about it, they were going to take care of it before you got to your own mama.
Right.
It was that kind of an atmosphere. And so I guess the biggest change, of course, it was a change for all of the people who, now, they didn't all shut down at one time. Mm-hmm. This happened over a period of 10 years, probably. Just one would shut down after another. It just began to dwindle. But the biggest challenge, and one of the challenges that the city has been through that was a problem when I became mayor, is identity. The Bremen's identity was the clothing center, the worldwide clothing center. In fact, we had a local radio station whose call letters were WWCC, Worldwide Clothing Center. And that's who we were. And everybody knew it. I don't know if you're familiar with Burlington Fabric Company. Big company, bigger then than now. There were actually salesmen from some of these big fabric companies that Bremen was their only territory.
Wow.
That's how much fabric they bought.
They didn't need to go anywhere else.
Nope.
They just keep Bremen happy.
And so, you know, same thing. I know that Warren Sewell Clothing Company sold to Belk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a salesman that Belk was his only account.
Yeah.
So that's how big it was. And it was the identity of the community. So when we didn't only lose the jobs.
Yeah.
We lost our identity.
It was some social
it's
fabric.
Like now what
social
you,
fabric. There's
yeah,
a good pun.
What do you do with yourself?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been a caregiver, but sometimes if you've been a caregiver for a person for a long time and then you lose that person, you don't know what to do with yourself. So Bremen was kind of in that situation. And there were a lot of local disagreements. There was a big, huge disagreement about whether or not the city needed a golf course. And it turned into something far beyond the decision of do you need a golf course. And there were lifelong friends that were not speaking. There was fussing and feuding and fighting in it. And I don't think it was so much about the golf course. It was about the frustration.
Right, just bubbling over.
Of who are we? And now what are we going to do? So we were about to lose that wonderful city that I grew up in. And I was very concerned about it. The city was on the verge of bankruptcy. And it's like, what do you do? And I proceeded to try to find somebody to run for mayor.
And they found you.
I wound up doing it. And
what year was this?
2001.
Okay.
I actually was running for mayor when the huge 911 tragedy happened.
Yeah.
And so I was sworn in 2002. And we are a blessed community. I don't deserve credit because I have had such incredible people working with me. We have the most incredible city staff and a city team that works so well together. I know enough to know that you hire somebody good at what they do and you leave them alone, let them do it. And so that pretty much has been our mode of operation since I became mayor. And they're incredible people. They're people of integrity. They're good people. They care about people and they're brilliant. And that's exciting. It's exciting and very pleasurable to work with a group of people like that. That's not to say that we don't have challenges and problems, but they're never personal problems among us.
Sure.
Same thing with the city council. You know, city council buys into that mindset. Of course, through these years, I've served with several different city councils, but they mold into that thinking and they're good with that. Council members have their place and they're willing to let city employees have their place and take their responsibility. So, it's been quite a ride, but we have been blessed so that now we don't have any financial difficulties. You know, we made it.
Yeah.
And we cannot, could not, will not ever be able to replace the kind of industry that we lost. But we are well positioned, especially because of our location and because we have one of Synchronet, which is one of the largest fiber optic companies anywhere. The owner of that is a Bremen High School graduate, Bremen boy, Kyle Williamson. And so we're looking at technology. Technology is great. Doesn't take water, doesn't take sewer, doesn't take all of those things. So we see ourselves as really working toward becoming a city of connectivity. Connectivity in every way, both in the technology industry, but also people connectivity.
Yeah. I want to go back to, I guess, your early days as mayor. You were trying to find somebody.
Somebody.
And
somebody.
You ended up doing it yourself.
Well, I knew that other people were smarter than I that ought to be able to do that.
But you got to find them willing.
Yes.
You described this. There was this frustration, this tension, this you know, brink of bankruptcy. There was some things that you wanted to do in general. Were there some specific projects you knew you wanted to go, or maybe in your first year, kind of surveying everything that you kind of set out to do initially? I'm curious. You said you were on the brink of bankruptcy, and 20 years later, things are really good. What did you do in the first, you know, two, three years to kind of set on that right path? Because those early days, it sounds like you had a lot of challenges.
We did.
So what did you?
We hired an incredible city manager who through the years has taught me a lot. But to be simple and to answer your question, the first thing we had to do was to define the difference between needs and wants and to teach all city employees to do the same thing. We had to begin to teach them that pennies matter. And so that was foundational to everything because we spent when you are struggling to make the next payroll and you've got people on the street wanting to know why you don't have new Christmas lights, then you've got to put on your blinders and set your mind toward the future when you know the day will come when you can buy Christmas lights, which now we've been doing.
Right, right.
You know, but in the meantime, you've got to separate what you need from what you want. How do you build that foundation that's going to be a good, strong foundation for the next generation of people that you're going to hand this over to?
Mm-hmm. How about since then, some projects, obviously Christmas lights is on the list, but beyond that, what are some things you've,
well,
I mean, you've got 20 years
really,
now, so I bet there's some good success
us,
stories.
It took us a lot of years to get financially capable, to get financially sound.
You can get in financial trouble real quick.
In a hurry.
and
because
get out
we've
of
been
that.
There and done that, we still think with the mindset of the differences between needs and wants.
Yep.
The city has grown. We've grown a lot. I think the population when I became mayor was around 4,800, and now we're up to about 7,200 in the latest census.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been growing. We have a lot more houses, which you want to say is wonderful, but that also means you got to have more water, more sewer, more police,
right.
more fire,
yeah.
you know, the whole thing.
More people to offer services to.
Learning to see the whole picture is huge.
Right.
But yes, and really, it's only been in more recent years that we've been able to do some projects.
Yeah.
I guess one
get,
of the
get
ones
to the wants.
One of the ones that's the most satisfying to me is we have a new veterans park.
Okay.
We have some incredible people in Bremen. We had several of them now have died, but we had decorated World War II veterans. You know, we've just had a lot of people through the years. Wayne Waddell, who was in a famous prisoner of war in Vietnam, is a Bremen boy.
Mm-hmm.
The community has a heart for saying thank you. And so we have been able to build what I think is a beautiful veterans park. And we're excited about that. But we've only done that in the last four or five years. We've completely refurbished, practically rebuilt our city library, which is unbelievably active. I cannot believe all the people that they count. And then they were able to expand that service during COVID because they got into how you do things in social media and mm-hmm. online. So now it is mind-boggling to me how many people our little Bremen Library serves. Of course, our big thing early on was infrastructure, water lines that were built in the 1930s.
Yeah.
So those were the first things. So many of the first things that we did and had to do as projects were things you couldn't see.
Yeah.
We had a water plant that was built in the late 1930s, 40s. So all of that had to be upgraded, and all of that had to take priority over the Veterans Park or, you know, these other things.
That was closer to a need than a want.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we've just gotten to where that's just kind of a lifestyle for us to weigh needs and wants. Across the street here is a little building called Depot Park. And years past, that was the old police station and fire department. The buildings were dilapidated. They were dangerous. It's in a dreadful place for railroad right-of-way issues and whatnot. But when I was growing up, just across the street, north here from where we are, there was a huge train depot. Trains came through here. They stopped passenger trains all the time. And somehow through the years, they moved the depot. Mm-hmm. They stopped doing that and took the depot away. But we still had the design, and we had a local Bremen boy architect who could take the roof design of that old depot, and he proportioned it down so that the roof that we have on this small pole barn, I guess what you call it over here, it's got the roof on it that would be like the roof that was on the original depot that was in Bremen. So just a lot of stuff like that, that kind of, you get to the place where you can relax a little bit and kind of do something fun.
You're doing the, I guess I'll call them the extracurriculars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've been really busy upgrading, trying to build up our downtown. Bremen is a unique town in that we exist in two counties.
Mm-hmm.
And that has its own set of challenges. But here we are, little downtown Bremen right here.
You have lost negotiations with two sets of commissioners.
Absolutely. And believe me, they can get exciting. Let me tell you the difference. We're the largest city in Harrelson County.
Right.
We're the smallest
one
in
Carroll
County. But we produce millions of dollars for them.
Well, if your interstate exit, actually, it's where I'm staying for this trip. And
that's in Carroll County.
There are every fast food restaurant, several other hotels, and all kinds of retail.
And
right
you
got
to know that all of that's really happened in the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. It just boomed.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying, you know, when people ask me about Bremen, I say, okay, we sit on at the intersection of two federal highways. We sit on an interstate. We sit at the intersection of railroads, north, south, east, and west. We're 15 minutes from a regional airport and an hour from an international airport, and we have the best school system in the state. What do you want?
That's a good pitch.
And so, but the downtown Bremen is a very different person than I-20 Bremen.
Right.
And we have to handle them, you know, very different ways. Absolutely. And, of course, then certainly in different counties. It's a challenge, but it's a good challenge. But we have tried to rebuild and protect this old downtown Bremen for historical purposes, and we're doing a lot of things with that.
Riding around, I believe I was told there are one or two new restaurants that have started in
right
downtown.
Up the street here.
Mm-hmm. Just in the last year, pandemic.
Just right here. They're all side by side. Of course, we don't have that much space, and we're so limited by the railroad for the space that we have.
Well, but if it's all right there together, you have a more walkable community.
It is walkable. It is walkable if you don't mind walking across the railroad track. But
well, look both ways for the train first, although they usually blow their horns as they're coming through.
But we're just two different personalities as far as the two Bremens. Two Bremens, yet one.
Sure.
And so we're a blessed people.
I want to talk some more about Bremen, but I've got these four questions. I call my get-to-know-you questions I'd like to ask you so our audience can get to know you in a very different way. So first question, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
No, don't think so.
No?
No, don't think so.
Nothing. Just Sharon,
just
Sewell,
just Sharon.
Mayor.
Just Sharon.
That's it. Nothing coming through high school. Okay.
No, I don't think that's good.
No one ever, they never found it necessary, I guess.
Maybe not, or maybe they were scared.
So maybe that's it. All right. What would be your go-to karaoke song? We're at a karaoke bar. It's karaoke night. Well, you're next in line. You get to choose whatever song and
that
and
is
you're
a terrible
sing.
Question for
no,
me.
No, it's a great question for everybody.
I was trained in classical music in college. I'm a church musician. And I don't do karaoke in bars.
That would actually make it even more entertaining than most other people.
Let's say, "You Are My Sunshine."
You are, that's beautiful.
Is that a good song?
Yeah. It's your song. That's great.
Song. It's a good song.
Okay, next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Ooh, I like variety. I don't like just one thing. I love seafood. I love beef. I love Italian. I like Mexican. I'm not crazy about I don't do sushi and some of that stuff. I like fish as long as it doesn't taste fishy.
First time I heard that, I thought, I don't understand, but now I do understand. Yep.
you know, you don't have to look hard to know that I like sweets. So,
well, do you have a favorite meal? Put it all together.
Oh, my word in heaven. Well, I like just good Southern home cooking. My family, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmothers. We're all cooks.
Okay. Got a favorite
Sunday dinner? I'm going to go with chicken and dressing and homegrown green beans and potato salad and banana pudding.
I'm hungry now, and it's not quite lunchtime yet. Oh, yeah. That'll work great.
You know,
I want to sit down with you at that table.
When I was born, I had 11 living genetic grandparents.
You're going to have to explain that to me.
All right. They were all long-lived people. And on my dad's side,
are you talking about grandparents, then great-grandparents, then great-great-great-grandparents? Okay, you just said grandparents. I'm like, I thought the max was about four.
Well, yeah.
But you're talking about the greats and the great-greats.
I'm talking about the whole thing.
Okay.
They all lived, except for one, they all lived long enough for me to get to know them very well. So that in my growing up years, when, you know, Sunday lunch came around, instead of going to grandmother's house, we always went to great-grandmother's house.
Yeah.
Who grew her own garden, raised her own turkeys, you know, did her own thing. I guess I grew up thinking that's what you were supposed to do. Now, mind you, I don't raise turkeys, but
yet
we all learned how to cook.
I'm curious, since you talked about, I mean, you got some folks that live very long. How old was the oldest of your grands or great-grands or great-great-grands when they passed?
Well, my grandmother, my last one to die, was 98.
Okay.
And she just died in 2004.
Okay. 98 years old. And several of them got into their 90s. Older. Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was my dad, my grandmother Sewell, my grandfather Sewell, my great-grandmother Sewell. You know, you just keep on going. I remember my great-grandmother Sewell very well, who lived on the Sewell farm, which was in Graham, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, but she died when I was 5. But the rest of them lived long enough.
Yeah.
And none of them could drive. So when I turned 16, honey, I had a way. I had a job, and I was glad to show her.
You were driving everybody around.
I did it. They'd call me, and we'd just go.
So so maybe your nickname was Taxi Driver.
That could have been it. That
Cabby.
Could have been it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, final question.
Okay.
If you could attend the concert of any singer, duo, group of musicians, any kind of performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
Oh, my goodness.
I figured based on what you said, it'd be a classical musician of some kind.
I loved Robert Shaw.
Okay.
His choral music was out of this world. Contemporary, I mean, for today, I love the Collingsworth family. That is a gospel singing mm-hmm. group. But she may be the most incredible pianist I have ever heard. So I really like all kinds of music. I don't do real well with country and western. My brother loves it, so I have to listen to it. But, but I guess I would love to go back to a Robert Shaw concert.
All right, Robert Shaw. Mm. Thanks for letting us get to know you.
You are very welcome. Thank you. I've enjoyed the visit.
Last time we visited Harrelson County, we stopped in at the Greater Harrelson Chamber and spoke to Tara Chapman about the resiliency of the communities in that area. Today, we're going to talk with another member of the Chamber team that's working hard to make things better throughout these rural communities.
Hey, I'm Elizabeth Langley. I am the Director of Marketing and Events for the Greater Harrelson Chamber. I have been with the organization for 15 years.
Elizabeth, thanks for joining us, and thanks to you and the Chamber for sponsoring Small Town Podcast and for inviting us up to learn about the small towns of Harrelson County.
We're excited to have you.
Well, we've talked with Tara about kind of the resiliency, especially through the pandemic. But you and I were talking about some of the specific things going on in specifically the downtown areas where most of the businesses are, you know, talking about your restaurant and your retail districts and how you've got some new things in some places. And so to not only see the survival, but in some ways kind of this resilience, this resurgence, this revitalization that's going on under some extreme circumstances is exciting. So talk about, you know, you've got 4 different downtown areas of varying sizes.
We do.
So talk about some of the things going on in each one and feel free to give some specific examples.
So let's see. In downtown Bremen, it is very interesting the number of new businesses that have opened during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's blown us away.
That's great.
But we also love how they're working together. So in Bremen and in Tallapoosa and even in Buchanan, they are teaming together to offer special fun days for people to come out and shop. So one of the things that we have been trying to encourage our business owners is to stay open later, possibly, because we have about 80% of our residents leave our community to go to work. So they're not getting home in time to shop when some of these places are closing at 5:00. And we've seen a trend where some of them are staying open until at least 6, or they're having special. Bremen actually did this a couple months ago, but they were staying open late one evening, like a month, mm-hmm. to help those people who are wanting to shop local. We also have done a lot of things with Love for Local, just encouraging people to know what's available. With these new businesses that are opening, whether it's in Bremen or Tallapoosa or Buchanan, we want people to know that they're available to them and that they can come and shop and get what they need without having to go out of our community to find those things.
It's really important. I just can't help but recognize this and then also point it out. It's really important to know your community so that you can know what to do to better serve it. And so the fact that you know, okay, this percentage of our residents are leaving, and somebody might say, well, that's terrible. You need to fix that. Okay, sure. But we're going to react to yeah. it to make sure our businesses are kind of catering to their customer base. And so that's really exciting to see. And then to see everyone come together, because I could also see some business owners going, well, we're not staying open late for them. They should just get home
yes.
sooner. But not only do you recognize what's going on, you've got these coordinated efforts to kind of respond to it. And I bet that's probably at least part of the reason for the resiliency of your businesses
yes.
here.
And they partner so well together. Like you're seeing businesses, they may be similar. They don't offer maybe the same things, but they may be similar boutiques or gift shops. But then you see them going together and they're all supporting each other. It's very interesting to see how they just come together, because if one does well, they all do well.
It's collaboration instead of a competitive spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's important. And I think especially in rural communities and small towns, downtowns, or any part of the business community, man, we don't have enough to split up. there's not enough to fight about. So we need to get together and kind of help each other out. And so it's good to see those kinds of efforts are happening here. That's great.
It's been wonderful, because like I was actually meeting with one of the downtown businesses the other day. I was in there just shopping and talking and checking in on with them. And she was saying, well, I refer people to the other shops downtown. So if they stop at her shop,
right,
because she may have something that the other ones don't offer. And that's so awesome to see, because there's normally not that collaboration.
Well, it's a team mentality, because if someone can't find it in your store, but you can convince them to get it in your community, mm-hmm. then you're supporting local business. There's some sales tax dollars here that's still being collected by that city or county. Yeah, so it's seeing the bigger picture. And I think there was a time, and there are probably still communities that are like this in some respect, that they are still fighting, and they're the ones that are probably suffering a little more and not doing as well when mm-hmm. hard times come, like, I don't know, a global pandemic, et cetera. Yeah. So, yeah.
Our businesses, it was amazing to sit back and watch them get creative during the pandemic. They were not only just creative, but they responded, so well. They changed their business model, or they adapted their hours, or they adapted the way they delivered their service. And it was just really awesome to see that they weren't stuck in a box, then they had to do it one way.
Yeah.
There was many different avenues they could get it across without change, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just, it was really cool to watch, sit back and watch how they either partnered together or they just changed their whole business model to survive.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
We didn't lose any during the pandemic. So that was a blessing.
That's amazing. So Elizabeth, since you handle marketing for the chamber, I imagine you get into some marketing conversations with some of your members that are businesses, restaurant and retail, probably specifically. So talk about how things, and maybe there's been some collaborative efforts on this too, as far as how people have to market differently, maybe who they're marketing to differently. And maybe part of that was because of a pandemic. And we see so many trends that were already heading this direction. And the coronavirus kind of just accelerated some things. So how have things changed, or how are things changing with regard to how people are marketing themselves in some of your businesses in Harrelson County?
So prior to the pandemic, you saw a shift going towards social media. And we were trying to get our businesses on board with switching to even just opening like a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, obviously with the pandemic, you had to fully rely on social media to be able to reach your customers. And so we saw a huge shift during the pandemic. I can tell you, myself and Tara and Eric all probably spent probably half of our time consulting with our businesses, helping them get the word out, sharing everything. And so through all those things, we kind of decided to do a Love for Local campaign. Mm-hmm. And that is just to build awareness of what is available in our community. Because a lot of people don't know that we have a vinyl retail shop in downtown Bremen, or we don't have this adorable gift shop in this downtown. So we had all these things that we're trying to figure out, how do we communicate this to the public? Well, we decided to do a commercial. And so it was actually really successful. We put it out through social media and some different avenues. We even tried to go through TV and just trying to get the word out there that there's more to our community. And it's not necessarily just going in a store and buying something. So people, when they think of shop local, quote unquote, that you have to go in there and purchase something. Well, that's why we did Love for Local, was because we want you just to talk about what is offered. Not necessarily, you don't have to go in there and spend money. Well, that's what they want you to do, wink, wink, you know. But they also want you to share with your friends, hey, I saw this adorable shirt in this boutique. Why don't you check it out? Or they had great customer service. So those are the things that we just wanted to encourage people to look a little farther into the community and find something they may be missing.
Well, and as things change and quote, word of mouth is mm-hmm. now very digital. It's now about leaving a review on one of many places. Or like I said, either sharing something, or if you had an incredible experience, make a post yourself that gives them a shout out and tag them. And so that, and you know, we've talked about this previously with Tara, that the way to support a business primarily is, yes, spending money, but there's other ways too. And you can do that from the comfort of your own phone.
Yes. I mean, you can leave a Google review. Our restaurants would love a Yelp review. And those are some of the things we walked through with our businesses is to offer, like, to make sure you have a Google business listing. Make sure you have a Yelp listing. Some of these additional things that you may think, we only think Facebook. Like, so now we've encouraged people to get Instagram because that's your younger generation, too. It's a different caliber of people. You know, you have a different demographic based on what social media platform you have.
Right, right.
So you want to reach all of them so that they come in and purchase something in your business.
Well,
so.
I'm sure they all appreciate getting their local chamber giving advice on how to do the business better. Yeah.
We try.
Well, I mean, that's the services that are supposed to be provided. And yeah,
yes.
That's why people pay their dues, right?
Yes, exactly. And we've walked many through the process, and that's something that we take pride in is that if they need that additional help, that we've taken the time to sit down with them for 30 minutes and walk them through how to set up an Instagram or how to set up a Facebook page or a LinkedIn and just kind of help them learn a new way of communication.
Yeah, reaching out to customers and potential customers.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, I want to talk more. We've talked so much about what has happened, and I want to talk about what is happening or what is coming. And I just know from talking to you off the mic that there's a couple of things we could talk about. So I'll make sure we do it on the mic. So talk about, I think you said there was a regular festival, an annual kind of thing.
We do. The Bremen Junior Women's Club every year sponsors what we call the Bremen Town Festival. And it is all on Main Street here. It's the third Saturday in October. And we look forward to that every year. Lots of craft people come in. People cooking. We just hang out on the main street and have a good day. And we look forward to that every October.
Okay. And I think you mentioned just some of the happenings. We already talked earlier in our conversation about a couple new restaurants coming. I think there's some new activities as far as just, I guess, downtown revitalization
exactly.
is the best
we've
way to
got,
say it.
We've got, we soon will have three restaurants side by side right here on Main Street. Hopefully, all of those will be finished, I think, maybe by the middle of the summer. And we do have one open now called The Grill 222 that is a good restaurant. But they're all just right down the street here, walking distance.
And what type of food is The Grill? Just kind of bar and grill type of?
Yes.
Good selection of?
Good selection of all kinds of things.
Not
fish,
a particular.
Fish,
yeah.
beef, all of that.
Okay.
So the other, I think, I've heard, don't know, one of them may be a pizza restaurant, and then another one will be similar to The Grill that is there,
okay.
similar kind of food.
All right. So you'll have choices.
Yes,
you can park the car, leave the keys in with the ignition on and the doors unlocked, go to the restaurant, and come back out.
There was a day and time you could have done that. I don't know that I would
recommend
do that
just today.
Today.
Well, what else? I think you, because there's, I noticed, in fact, I got it pointed out to me when I was touring around recently, the city's done a little bit of property acquisition, doing some things to kind of facilitate.
We're excited. The thing that is the biggest thing that all eyes are on in the community at this point in time is across the street from where we're sitting here on Hamilton Avenue, which is the old Highway 27, was where the Hubbard Pants Company existed. It started out as Hubbard Pants. I think they ultimately went on to make coats. They were part of the manufacturing family in Bremen. And the building became really dilapidated, was a terrible eyesore downtown Bremen. So through a series of events, the city wound up buying that property. And we demolished the building, and we have been looking, seeking what is the best thing to put there on that piece of property. It's just so close to the highway right there. So we're looking at a downtown center kind of idea that would be a park with some kind of gathering space for our people, but also will contain a good bit of parking for our downtown area. We are so limited in parking because of the railroad and because of the way the stores in Bremen were originally laid out. We can't start tearing down buildings, and the railroad goes right between two parts of them. So we're really excited, and hopefully just during the next few months, we will be able to complete a downtown, very attractive, inviting park area where we can have a lot of downtown activities.
I'm hearing a theme all through our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You became the mayor 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've done my math right, you actually just won re-election last year. And so you're starting the first of a four-year term again.
I am.
So it sounds like you had a lot of things to tackle in the early days. You talked about separating the needs from the wants and making sure everyone understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've gotten to the wants. You've gotten to do the park, the beautification, the downtown revitalization. And when you're trying to meet payroll and handle infrastructure things, you can't always get to those things. But now you're there. So what does the rest of this term hold, and what are you looking to do now that you're in a much better position as a city? Because it sounds like there's some momentum building, and that sounds really exciting. So I kind of want to know, I guess I'll ask this, what's next?
One of our biggest challenges financially, we have an incredibly successful city recreation program. We have, for spring sports, over 700 kids enrolled. They do an incredible job with summer camps and all of that. And we are so cramped for space in our recreation facilities and in our parks and recreation. There is one other, the next thing on the agenda would be, we have an old building that's made out of rock that is across the railroad track mm-hmm. from here. And it's been there for a long time. When I was a child, there was a city swimming pool over there. That's where we changed clothes. And we called it the Recreation Center.
Yep.
But we have recently refurbished that building, and we're going to make a park around that so that families will have a place to go free of charge. We'll have a splash pad for the children and just some places for families to hang out and play and have a good time. It doesn't cost them any money. So parks. But then we're going to have to completely rearrange and redo our ball fields and soccer fields, and we're trying to figure out how to do that. You know, in my growing up years, Bremen didn't have a recreation department, and then all they had was basketball, football,
right, just
and
certain
baseball.
Things, yeah.
I couldn't have done any of that. So one of my goals from the beginning that the recreation department has picked up on is I want something for every age level and every ability level.
Mm-hmm.
They have done an incredible job with that, so that we really do have all kinds of things. They do things sometimes for special needs population. We have a strong senior adult activity center. But all of that, because we're growing so, we've got to figure out where we're going to park the cars and have enough fields for all of these kids to play on. I just think you're better off with kids over there playing, having a good time. You know where they are, what they're doing. They're under good supervision, and that keeps them off the street doing things they don't need to do.
Yeah.
So that is a ton of money that we do not have, will never have. So our biggest challenge is how can we walk into this and then figure out how we're going to pay for it without leaving a huge debt
right.
for the next generation.
You don't want to tear up the finances
you built
up.
So we're probably going
up,
to
yeah.
be looking at some bonds and some things like that
yeah.
because it's such a huge amount of money all at one time. And navigating through that is a challenge. But that is a need and
yeah.
a want, because we really, really want to serve our children, our young adults, our whole community well. We have a lot of young families moving into Bremen because of our school system. They want their kids in the Bremen school.
Yeah.
And so that's a challenge for everybody. And so we're trying to wade through that with as much wisdom as possible.
Still building. I love it. I cannot come to Bremen, Georgia, sit down with a local leader and not ask about at least one of your most famous, if not your most famous sons, the Honorable Thomas B. Murphy, who was the Georgia House, Speaker of the House for a long, he served longer as speaker than any other speaker at the federal level and any other state level, to my knowledge, unless somebody has overtaken his record that I'm not aware of.
We wish he were still serving today.
I'm sure. So speak to it. I think when we talked, you said you actually had a relationship with the family.
Mr. Murphy, son, Mike, and I graduated from high school together.
Okay.
But my dad paid Mr. Murphy's qualifying fee the first time he ran for office.
Wow.
So he and my dad were early on good friends and business partners and some things. And Mr. Murphy was a man that you could call and get some help. He didn't have to mealy-mouth around about anything. He understood when there was a genuine need and was always there and eager to help anybody here. And he knew everybody. Everybody knew him. Of course, he had a law office here for all the years that I can remember. And he was an incredible asset to our community, the West Georgia area, and to the state of Georgia. He was a smart man, but he was a smart man with a lot of common sense. And he knew how to make things work, and he knew what was mully-gully and what was real. And so his wife, Miss Agnes, was a precious lady. She was truly a lady, and we loved her as well. She doesn't get the attention he got, but she probably told him what to do.
I'm sure she had a little influence in that house. I'm sure. I think I mentioned to you when we were talking about this earlier, in college, had the opportunity to serve as an intern at the Georgia House of Representatives in both 98 and 99, and it was I got to meet him on several occasions, sit in rooms and watch him run the House, watch him run a couple of committee meetings, things like that.
Because if he was
in the room, he was running the committee meeting, whether there was a committee chair or not.
He was quite a character, and he didn't mess around. You didn't mess with him. I mean, he had stuff that he wanted to do, and just don't mess with him, but just tell him what it was you needed and go on.
Well, and he had a reputation for being firm when he needed to be firm, but not mean. Yeah. He didn't rule with an iron fist, but he certainly ruled.
Absolutely.
Let's put it that way. And he was always chewing on that cigar.
Yes, he was.
Everywhere he's walking around. Can't smoke in the Capitol, but you can walk around with a cigar chewing on it in your mouth. So he took advantage of that. So
that's good.
Well, Mayor, as we kind of wrap things up, I just want to give you the same opportunity I give all my guests and speak directly to our small town podcast audience and let them know why they should come pay a visit, come to downtown, or at least stop on the interstate, or maybe they should think about living in Bremen, Georgia.
We would love that. We are a traditional hometown community. And we have people here who, I'll use this as an example. I have a new neighbor, an across the street neighbor from me, and she is Puerto Rican. And so when I went to visit her, she said she came from one of the suburbs of Atlanta and had lived in places in Florida and wound up in Bremen. And so I said, Virginia, we're just glad to have you here. She said, this is different. And I said, how is it different? She said, when I go to the grocery store, people hold the door open for me. People speak to me. They don't know me. And she said, it's easy to get around and it's safe. And I guess that kind of sums it up. You know, I'm kind of like Mr. Murphy. If you're going to come here to cause trouble, we ain't messing with you.
That's right.
But we would love for anyone to come and visit. It's a great place to do business. One of the other projects that we're working on right now is putting the whole city under a Wi-Fi umbrella. And so this really is going to be a place of connectivity. It's going to be a great place for people who need to work from home, who are especially in technology and do their work that way from home. So I just don't know of a place that is safer or that has just good people, helpful people, people who help each other. We truly are a group of community partners. And this includes churches and includes businesses and social events, social clubs, all of us together. Everybody has a common goal for Bremen, which is to keep it wholesome, to keep it safe, and to put education and excellence and faithfulness above all other things.
Well, Mayor Sharon Sewell, thanks so much for joining us on Small
Thank you
Town
so
Podcast.
Much. I appreciate your being with us today.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Sharon Sewell for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and the Greater Harrelson Chamber. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns.
I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Ocilla anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Ocilla, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.